Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson.
I'm Sam Delaney.
Welcome along to our Friday morning episode, which is generally a look ahead to the weekend's football action. That's kind of how we frame it, but it usually descends into just us talking shit and reading stuff.
This is serious football podcasting. We're brushing ourselves up.
Yeah.
Comments about it being too sweary, too random. Well,
Too much wanking
onto iPods. I was telling that story at West Ham on Monday night, actually.
Well done, well.
Someone said, I was chatting to a fellow and telling him about this wanking onto an iPod thing.
Yeah.
And he didn't buy it. The whole two princes thing, but he did. His only response was unflinchingly, didn't laugh or anything, just went, "I don't know that song. How does it go?"
Power player.
He power played me because I had to sing it to him on a tube train.
You didn't have to.
He sort of indicated that I did
you
have
did
to.
Did have to. Right.
So I sang Two Princes a little bit. Then he said, "My missus is going away for a couple of weeks. His girlfriend. He's not married. His girlfriend."
Right.
And I went, "All right, okay. What are you going to do?" And then I just went, just for a laugh, I said, "You're going to wank onto an iPod?" And he went, "No, I thought I might wank onto a human."
Right.
And I said, "Right, okay. I suppose that's the best thing that you can wank onto."
Yeah.
And he went, "Trust me, I've been all around the world and wanked on all sorts. Wanked on some ants once."
I was just about to say to you, is this a conversation you should be recounting on a podcast?
It's no one who anyone would know.
You keep saying that, and then they keep getting in touch with you and asking you not to talk about them again.
Well, for a start, I haven't named them. And for second, the reason I'm bringing it up is it's someone who has not been mentioned on a podcast before and probably won't be either.
And you're not naming any names or anything?
No, it's a passing acquaintance. Okay, it's not one of the regular featured characters.
We'll let that through the gate then.
Yeah.
I wanked on some ants once.
Wanked on some ants once. I didn't even follow up with another question.
No, you can't, can you?
No.
Just get off the tube. It doesn't even matter if it's where you live, just get off.
I chose to think that he hadn't done it on purpose. Like, "Oh, there's some ants, I'm going to wank on them."
Give me the fucking horn. Look at them
sexy bastards wiggling
crumbs.
Their asses.
Look at their unusual levels of strength carrying crumbs around in that to their colony. Which one's the queen, I wonder?
They're all going to get it.
They're fucking quakers are in the horn.
They're asking for it. Fucking sexy ants magazine. That's one we should launch.
I wasn't expecting this episode to go down this road quite so quickly.
No, and I was just trying to get into the fact that we were now a serious broadcasting outlet, an organ, if you will. We are standing on the precipice of another fantastic weekend of Premier League football.
This is it!
So much to look ahead to.
So many talking points.
Let's look through the fixtures and speculate as to what refereeing decisions might be a passing interest.
I heard another recent cliche we can add to the bank.
What?
Unfiltered opinions.
Oh, unfiltered opinions, yeah. If you want your opinions filtered, fuck off elsewhere.
Because
here,
unfiltered.
They come through with all the toxins and, you know, piss and shit and all of that in as part of the deal.
Like that goldfish bowl you used to have when you were a kid before you could buy pumps for your goldfish tank. Unfiltered.
Totally fucking grimy. Full there's shit growing shit. In. Our opinions are so unfiltered there's mould growing on them.
Moss.
Yeah,
all sorts.
Mossy opinions with Sam Delaney and Andy Dawson. Right, what's your first mossy opinion for the weekend ahead? Who has Sunderland got, mate? I never ask you about football.
Well, it's League One, isn't it? Who gives a fuck? Well, we're away at Oxford.
Away at Oxford. We're not a bad little away day, that. You know, if you could, because you're down here tomorrow, you could extend your stay.
Yeah.
Oxford's a lovely day out. Mm. You can go and wander around all those lovely colleges, because you can wander in and out, you know.
Can you?
And meet them, meet the posh
What's
students.
What's the things called? Is it the Cleves?
There's
You're
quads.
Wandering out quads.
There's quads. You can walk into a quad and you could just fucking hang around, go up, talk to people.
I gave a best man speech once at Cambridge University in one of the dining halls.
Fucking hell.
One of my mates was married there.
Why did he get married there?
Because his wife had gone to Cambridge University.
Right, so they hired it out. It's available for hire.
I reduced the crowd to tears of laughter.
Did you?
Very much so.
Were you telling embarrassing stories about him, or were you just doing comedy stylings?
Yeah, it was mainly about me.
Right.
It was mainly, an audition for... I assumed there'd be some... You know, BBC comedy executives there would be in Cambridge.
Well, it was Cambridge. I think that you thought you were going to walk away with an honorary degree.
Yeah. Bill Shankly
at the end,
sitting by the
side. You go sit down. Hello, Mr. Dawson. A pleasure to meet you. My name is Professor...
Such and such.
Professor such and such. And I am the Dean of Cambridge University. I was blown away by the comedic stylings of your best man speech. Here, please take this rolled-up scroll, which is an honorary master's degree from... You can produce this anywhere in the world and get a free beer and bag of crisps. And you can also call yourself a fucking professor, and no one can stop you. And if they try, send them to me.
And it's even been laminated in case you want to take it home and wank all over it.
Which a lot of our graduates do. Not least, Mr. Stephen Fry. And then I say to you one last thing. You are much better than Stephen Fry, who was previously easily our funniest graduate. But you make him look about as funny as fucking Larry Grayson.
Yeah, that's what I hope, but that's
that
not...
That is what the Dean of Cambridge University said to you.
Yeah, that's what happened. And I've still got
Must have been some speech, mate.
I've got the certificate in my bag now.
My mate got up at his speech. Did you use this line? He got up... My mate... is from a common family, and he married a woman from a posh family.
Yeah.
And she was quite worried.
A bit like Just Good Friends.
Yeah, it was very... After I've made that point to him before, actually. Yeah. I've said you're like Just Good Friends.
Jan Francis.
They're a lovely couple, actually, across the class divide. But he's very funny, and she was worried about the class divide at the wedding, because the families hadn't met much. And my mate was like, don't worry about it. It'll be fine. We're not professors. We're not animals.
My lot will basically be out fighting in the car park.
Yeah, you won't see much of them. They'll either be in the bogs doing chisel. Well, that's where my mum will be. Or they'll be out in the car park having a rat. Right? So
we're going to put some cockfighting on for them.
That's what my family like at weddings. They like to see some cocks. It's a tradition. Anyway, he got up and
they're not trying poverty shame us.
She was really nervous about what he was going to say, and he'd promised her he'd make a perfectly civilised speech about her. He gets up and he goes,
oh God.
He gets up and the family are all there, and one of her uncles has got a CBE or something. He gets up and he goes, I won't lie, I haven't made many speeches before in public in my life. And so I was rather nervous. I have been rather nervous in the build up. And so I did prepare a couple of short lines. I've just snorted them in the bogs and I feel right as fucking rain now. Wordplay.
There's the level
which
set.
He thought it would go down well with them because it sounds like a wordplay like you get on a Radio 4 comedy programme.
Yeah, which they'd be used to, yeah.
Like who's the cunt? Is that what it's called? Hello, I'm Tarquin Cuntface. And welcome to Who's the Cunt?
This week we've got our regular panel of three highly renowned cunts from Oxbridge who have basically coasted their fucking way through their entire lives and careers solely because of the people they know, went to school with, and went to university with.
Alan Cunt, do you have anything ultimately unamusing to say that you'll dress up as witty banter?
Very good, 2 points.
Tish pish. Seriously, though, if you are listening, Radio 4, me and Andy can easily put on better accents than this and go on any of your fucking shows.
We can quite happily adapt this podcast into a Radio 4 comedy show.
This could easily be a comedy programme on Radio 4. We'll just take out the swearing, put on nicer voices and...
Probably half 6 or 11 o'clock, not the morning.
My mother-in-law would love it. We'd turn up wearing, of course... rented dinner suits to record at the BBC.
Because that's what they still do in the radio, isn't it?
Yeah. Where were we? Oh, yeah, the weekend ahead.
Yeah. Oxford. Yeah, I'm not going to go to Oxford.
But you could.
If I was to go to an away match without my son, he would lay a series of traps in the house that would lead to my demise.
Like in Home Alone.
It's like Home Alone.
Sunderland version of Home Alone. Here, what do you make of this? Doing? This is something that people might give me shit about on Twitter. I don't know. We'll get an opinion. West Ham are away this weekend to Palace.
Right.
I haven't got a ticket. I don't go to many away games anymore because it's fucking hard to get tickets for away games unless you've got the points. You know, you get caught up in a...
You can't get the points unless you've got the away games.
Exactly. You get caught up in a fucking catch-22. So I'm not going to that. But my son's mate from school is a Fulham fan. His dad... used to work for Manchester United.
Right.
And he's got us tickets. I don't know if he's got us special tickets through his connections or what. Mm-hmm. But they just invited us. They said, look, we're going to Fulham, West Ham. I live not far from Fulham. And he's gone, we're going to Fulham Man U on the Saturday. We've got 4 tickets. Would you like to come?
Okay.
So I said, yeah.
Is it in a kind of executive area?
Well, I don't know. I'm hoping yes.
Yeah. With the connections, yes. I think it would be.
Yeah, but I don't know if he's used the connections or whether he's just bought tickets because the son is a Fulham fan. Dad's a Man U fan.
Okay.
And I've made it clear. I've said, we would love to come. We are West Ham fans. We've got season tickets to West Ham. Yeah.
I should inform you we are West Ham fans.
You ought to know.
Our behaviour may West Ham be intolerable at times.
Our behaviour will not be that of the common Fulham fan. It will be ghastly.
Craven Cottage regulars may be surprised by what they see and hear.
By the conduct of not only myself, but also my 7-year-old son, who has only ever witnessed West Ham supporters at play, if you will.
He's been conditioned at a young age.
It's fucking true. He might... I don't know. We'll
What's
have
the
to
thing
see
he
how
does? The spin
he does the spin and swear, and he's also he started to at the away fans do the you're all mouth thing. Yeah. I don't know if he knows what it means.
Yeah,
but he's seen me and everyone else around him
Sam
do it.
Sam is using his hands in a similar style to
a crocodile. Yeah, emu or a crocodile. And you give it like that.
Yeah.
You're all that.
Away fans. How far away from the away fans is he when he does that?
Far enough for them not to get at us.
Can
and
they
that,
see
that was one of the key things.
Can they see him doing it?
They can just about see, yeah. But it's one of the key things I taught him. From an early age, I told him, this is the Delaney way. Mm. Give it large only if you're certain there's no way they can actually physically get at you.
Definitely.
If you are anywhere close to them being able to do you damage, don't give it large at all. Keep your head down.
Yeah.
But if you're at a safe distance, give it massive portions.
Mm.
That's the Delaney way, and that's the way I've taught him.
That's your credo.
Yeah.
Because Fulham's got that strange neutrals section, hasn't it, where anyone can turn up.
Yeah, so we could be... I don't know where we're going to go, but I'm actually looking forward to it. But, yeah, I don't know if you have an opinion on whether or not that is traitorous behaviour to another club.
Weirdly, one of the matches we're going to predict in a bit is Spurs versus Leicester.
Mm.
And me and my boy went to that fixture last year.
We had
a weekend in London and we went to Wembley and watched Spurs versus Leicester. It was the last game of the season.
Yeah,
and it
something
was
5-4
to do. 5-4 to Spurs.
Oh,
it was fucking
brilliant.
Great. It was like watching a FIFA match.
So you're all right with it.
No,
good.
I'm fine with it.
Because it's something to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because if not, like when West Ham are away, sometimes I'm really bored.
Yeah.
On a Saturday. So it's something to do. It's day out.
Of course.
And it's quite near to my ground. And Man United. I'll probably secretly be supporting Man United inside my head.
Oh, you're one of them, are you?
Well,
because of Solskjaer.
I don't know, but yeah, I sort of quite. I've never had a soft spot as such for United, but I do like Solskjaer, and I like the way that they've suddenly just started winning every game. I sort of feel that's quite exciting. I probably won't really be backing anyone.
I'll tell you what the secret.
I'll be supporting football, Andy.
The secret. I've worked out the secret of Manchester United's revival is Mike Phelan and Mike Phelan's demeanour. I was watching him, he was on the touchline last weekend when they were playing, and he's kind of got this little bit swagger about him, as feeling, which is kind of saying, yeah, we're all back now, the old gang's back, and we've got this fucking thing under control. Don't worry, everyone, everything's fine. And it's you know, Solskjaer's just fucking laughing all the time like he's on fucking gas or something. But Phelan's got this bit of a swagger about him. Did you see the picture of Mike Phelan at the PSG match last Saturday night?
What, after scouting, was he?
Yeah, and he had this big fucking hat. You know that hat Gregory Porter wears?
No.
The singer with a big ear flaps on it. It's kind of a bit like that, but grey.
Wow. And fucking hell, he's getting a bit above himself.
So Mike Phelan, I think, is the key to this. Phelan's
I think it was smart what they did, because they've got Solskjaer as a club sort of legend.
Yeah.
And
Ferguson's running it.
Coach, yeah, exactly. Coaching experience and, you know, obviously very good personality for the role. But then Phelan is the one who for many years was, I think, you know, because obviously Ferguson had a lot of different assistants, but Phelan is the one who probably, you could say, played the biggest role, because he was the one in Ferguson's latter years when he was winding down more and more.
There's the hat.
Fucking hell. He's gone hipster. Oh, look, and look, baby-faced assassin next to him's got a funny hat on, and he looks really scared of something.
Yeah. Maybe it might have been like a seven-year-old away from...
I've seen a monster. It wasn't a monster.
It's probably the seven-year-old son of an away fan. But yeah. Phelan is the key, I think, to Manchester United's revival. And Ferguson, obviously, who's running things.
I'll be out there at the cottage, hopefully having a prawn sandwich if I'm lucky. But if it just turns out to be normal budget seats, fuck it. I don't care either.
I think the minimum they do at the catering there is probably a prawn sandwich.
Yeah, you'd probably is. Right. That's just if you're in the cheap seats up at
Fulham. So we move on to the predictions then while we're doing that, because the first one I've got listed here is Fulham versus Manchester United.
Mm.
So, you know, not only are you going, I want you to lay down a prediction first as well.
I'm going to go for a simple Fulham 0, Manchester United 2.
Fulham 0, Manchester United 2. Should I make the noise again?
Oh, God.
No, I'm not going to make the noise.
Well, it did work for you last week.
It did, but I feel as though internally I'll make the noise.
Okay.
3-0 United. No, 3-1.
Oh, you think Fulham are going to nab a goal? Fair enough.
Something in my head there said 3-1.
First time I've heard you do that. Suddenly changing mind midway through.
Next one, Watford versus Everton.
All right, you go first.
Marco Silva, the fraud, returns to the club that he fucking binned off basically a year ago. And I think this will be a comfortable 2-0 win for Watford.
Someone's just tweeted us about Marco Silva.
Yeah.
In to provide you with evidence, because they know this is an obsession of yours.
Is this the list where it shows that they've only got 11 points out of the last 39?
It says this. At this stage of the season, only two teams have had a worse record from set pieces in Premier League history than Marco Silva's Everton. Those two teams were Marco Silva's Hull and Marco Silva's Watford.
No way.
Well, there's nothing to back that up. But someone's gone to the trouble of turning it into a meme. They've gone on Photoshop and actually designed it with three pictures of Marco Silva. So I've got to assume it's true.
It sounds legit to me.
Yeah.
So I say 2-0 Watford for that one.
Watford-Everton. At Watford?
At Watford.
Mm.
Could be the kind of one where the cunt turns it around, though. Do you know what I mean?
Nah, Watford, it's not that easy. I reckon 2-1
Watford. 2-1 Watford. Okay. Next up, Huddersfield versus Arsenal. Huddersfield have got a new manager in, and he appears to have had no discernible impact.
Of course he hasn't.
Whatsoever, unfortunately.
Who's the bald fella who plays for Huddersfield?
Aaron Moy?
Yeah, Moy. He's the only good player.
Yeah.
West Ham should buy him.
Well, he might get a chance in the summer.
It's a good idea to look at the team that are going down and identify the only good player they've got. Yeah.
Cherry pick their assets before they go down.
Slim pickings. I mean, Cardiff, I don't think, have got anyone.
Can't think of any.
No. Fulham have got ones who were very good when they were in the Championship but haven't really performed since they came out.
Ryan Sessegnon
looked like a fucking world beater, didn't he?
He looks like a West Ham player.
What do you mean by that?
Well, they'll buy him and he'll go to shit.
Yeah, you're right. I'd be happy if we did buy him and he went
six
to shit. There's not many players available. I would say that this game, who is it again?
Huddersfield-Arsenal.
Huddersfield 0, Arsenal 2.
I am going to replicate that prediction. Correct. Sorry about that, but that's what I think.
It's a good week.
A lot of Arsenal fans want their manager sacked as well, don't they? They want Emery out.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Because he's been there for 6 months and they're not...
And they're not yet the champions.
I don't know what they wanted, what they expected, but there you go.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Why aren't we the champions of England yet?
There's a good piece on Football 365 today about social media and fans becoming hysterical babies constantly.
Yeah.
Every time something doesn't quite go their way. And it's fucking true as well.
It's true. It's true of all clubs. I mean, Arsenal are quite well famed for it, but, you know, there's a section of West Ham fans who are like, you know, we won 4 in a row just before Christmas and everyone's straight away, oh, we're going to fucking get in the Champions League. And then you lose a few bad performances and people are not just shit, oh, it's been a bad few weeks. He's like, we're fucking shit, it's pathetic. I'm livid. This club is fucking terrible. Sullivan out, Gold out, Pellegrini
out. Get rid of the tree, man.
Yeah.
Chop the tree down. Chop him up for firewood.
Yeah.
And you've got fans like having boycotts and marching outside the stadium all dressed in tree costumes.
Yeah.
And fucking fighting each other.
One of us is going to dress as a tree and the other one's going to dress as a lumberjack. And the lumberjack's going to come with an axe and chop the tree man down.
And we'll put the pictures of it on Instagram and that'll fucking show the board. Then they'll have to do something.
It's just fucking mad. It's not all of the fans. I think there's usually a silent majority in most clubs.
In every aspect of life, really.
Who are just fucking reasonable and think, you know, look at the bigger picture. With West Ham just as an example, it's like, yeah, you're a team who are going to finish mid-table. Teams who finish mid-table are teams who lack consistency and have little runs of good games and then some runs of bad games. And then that's why you finish mid-table. It's fine. Yeah. That's just life.
I think as well, the higher up the league you get, the more cult-like the supporter base is. When you get to the top and you've got Liverpool, Man United, City, you know, possibly Everton, Arsenal, Spurs, fans develop cult-like tendencies and they start fucking losing their minds.
What, like the Corbynistas?
A little bit like that. David Koresh and his lot.
They sort of think that, you know, this is what's right. And it's very binary. There's right and there's wrong.
Yeah. And this is not football. This is life. This is more than life.
Oh, you're sounding like a Scouser now,
getting
mate.
Yeah, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't get that from, like, Watford fans, I don't think.
No, most of us are just sort of like a bit more this and that.
Yeah.
This and that. That's the reality of it. That's why Pablo Canugo had it right all along.
This and that, yeah.
This and that is the explanation of life. It's the explanation of football. It's this and that. It's like if you have an argument with your missus, things aren't going well with you in a relationship, for instance, don't jump to a conclusion that there's a problem in a relationship. Just remember, this and that.
This and that.
This and that. Some of the good, some of the bad.
Yeah, it'll pass.
Yeah.
Bit of salt, bit of pepper.
Life is like a river, Andy. The water flows through it.
Life is life.
What's around the river bend?
Life is life. Da 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 da. Life is life. You remember that song?
I don't know, but it sounds lovely. Who's it by?
Opus, German fellas.
Nah. I was singing What's Around the River Bend, which is a song from Pocahontas, which, of course, is where we got the idea for the tree man from.
Yeah.
Very moving life lessons and philosophical musings throughout Pocahontas.
Does this entire podcast come, you know, is it from Pocahontas? Does everything come back to Pocahontas?
If you look carefully, there's a lot of fan analysis sites that review each podcast.
Yeah.
There's a YouTube channel that's got over 4 million subscribers where two guys in Seattle, America, simply review in huge detail. They do a deep dive into each episode of Top Flight Time Machine it's published. And they're kind of two hipster guys.
Yeah.
They do it cycling on penny farthings around their local park. That's like the gimmick of it. And they've come
GoPro
up...
GoPro cameras on their heads and stuff like that.
They've come up with a fan theory that everything on Top Flight Time Machine comes back to Pocahontas.
Right. Have you heard that theory that you actually died in 1968?
Yes.
And you've been replaced on this podcast by a lookalike?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've heard that. And
anything to say about that?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure whether it's true or not. It's convincing. At first I thought, that's ridiculous. I know I haven't died. I'd remember.
You've started to become convinced
I'd remember if I'd died, mate.
Yeah.
Come on. I might be an idiot, but I'm not a cunt, right? Yeah. But then the more I read into it, I thought, this sounds like it could be legit.
Am I dead?
I might be dead.
Am I someone else?
I might be dead and I might be, the real me might be dead and I might be the wrong me being played by an actor. I just don't know.
I know the answer. I'm not saying.
Why is it that in all of our publicity photos, you're wearing shoes and socks, but I'm not?
Exactly.
Code.
Think on.
Jalapeño.
If you like Top Flight Time Machine, then why the fuck haven't you been on Patreon and signed up as a member of the Iron Filing Society, which is our new exclusive club where we put out exclusive episodes
content
of this show each week that you won't get for free. You've got to subscribe to it. It costs £3. We've done a load of
plus
new
VAT.
Roy Keane episodes.
£3 plus VAT.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll get the new Keane Odyssey series exclusively once a week, 9 months before the skinflints get it. And you'll also get your Keegan Odyssey episodes 1 week in advance of everybody else. Fucking what's not to love about
There's
that?
There's going to be badges and live events, which you're going to get advantageous access
to. We stopped promising
to.
The badges. We just say maybe there'll be badges.
I sent you some fucking examples
know,
of badges this week.
With that, badges because you said that
it's
going
to
be badges.
It. Pay your £3, you will increase your chance of getting a badge.
Badges are going to be so fucking problematic.
Listen, Roy Keane's first book is sensational because it's got all the stuff about Brian Clough and Eric Cantona and his youth in Ireland. And also, there'll be things from the first one, like Yaffel coming back and Pablo Canugo.
And basically means Sam wanted to raise enough money to start a demolition business. Yeah. So it's down to you. So go to patreon.com/topflighttimemachine and sign up now. Now!
Jalapeño.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
Liverpool versus Bournemouth at the weekend.
Well, Liverpool looking shaky. Looked poor against West Ham on Monday.
Klopp's starting to lose his mind slightly, do you think?
Yeah.
As
Klopp was extremely ungracious in defeat. And I felt that there was a real... I mean, he was mad. Do you know what was the maddest thing he said?
Oh,
yeah,
it wasn't
defeat.
It felt
I keep
like
thinking
defeat.
We won. But it was embarrassing, actually, because West Ham fans, everyone really celebrated when the final whistle went, which I thought
really?
Was... Yeah, it's a bit embarrassing. Real small-time mentality, that, isn't it? But anyway, he was absolutely outrageous. The worst thing he did was Klopp actually tried to claim that them scoring an blatantly offside goal in the first half provided us with an advantage. That is what he actually said. Because he said it was an advantage, a little bit of an advantage for West Ham. Because the referee was told at half time
that
he had made a fuck up, and therefore he was trying to balance things out in the second half.
Right.
So it was to our advantage that they'd scored. You silly cunt. If you hadn't scored the fucking goal, we'd have won it 1-0.
Is that why the flag didn't go up then for Origi being through on goal and
playing? Yeah, exactly. So why did they give you another fucking decision that was even worse?
I don't know. I'm not that au fait with Klopp when he was manager of Dortmund and they won the league, but I'm not sure he's got the kind of mental fortitude required.
He's showing worryingly Keegan-ish signs, I would say.
So what do you reckon, Liverpool versus Bournemouth? Shall I go first this
time? Yeah, go on.
I think they'll get back on winning ways. I think it'll be 3-1.
I'm going to go 1-0.
1-0. Gonna nick one and just
we haven't heard much from that cunt recently,
no,
have we? I messaged him in the week on our WhatsApp group.
Yeah, he replied.
And I saw two blue ticks come up, so he's obviously looking at his phone. No response, though.
Power play.
So when you see the two blue ticks but there's no response, you think, what the fuck are you trying to do? And I know what he's up to.
Yeah.
He's got WhatsApp open, he's got his metal cock in his hand, and he's sending dick pics to his robot birds, right? And he's waiting for them to respond. And he's just keeping it on a semi. while he waits for them to respond.
Just keeping it ticking over.
And because he's convinced they're going to, because his iron filings is out of control. So he's on those two. And he's like looking at his phone and he's waiting. And then once in a while, the phone vibrates and he thinks, here it is.
Here she comes. She's sent me a bikini. What's that? It's the door. Is the missus back from shopping early? No, it's okay. It's the postman. Good. I'll carry on.
Oh, message. Oh, message. Fuck. It's the fucking delay.
What the fuck does that human cunt want? How can I switch off notifications from that group but keep all my bitches on? Fucking hell. The wife will be home soon.
Next week you'll listen to this podcast, they'll be going,
where can I get myself some metal ants? I need to wank on some ants. It sounds amazing.
Mechanical ants.
Oh, dear me.
It sounds so exhilarating, the power one would feel to ejaculate over the tiny creatures. It sounds so random and so wrong. I am compelled to do it now. I may even tie a belt around my metal throat while I do it. I will asphyxiate my circuits. I am going to do a robot Hutchins. I need you tonight.
Robot Hutchins. You know what he's done, don't you? He's done a robot Hutchins. Cunt strangled himself with a belt. Bit stupid for a fucking robot.
I have short-circuited myself with a mechanoid strangle wank.
Fucking hell.
Reboot! Reboot!
Results bot, you better fucking get on track or you're going to forfeit the league. We're going to have to boot you out of it or you'll drop dead. And don't then it'll be less exciting.
Don't get cocky because you're only 4 points ahead of them. But, you know, the final match we're looking at is Spurs versus Leicester.
Spurs versus
Sunday,
Leicester
1:30 PM
will be
on the telly.
In my opinion, that will be 2-1 to Spurs.
2-1 to Spurs. I'm tempted to go 5-4 again after last year.
But, yeah, go for it.
I might as well, because I'm only going to get 1 point if Spurs win, and they're not going to come up with whatever I predict. Oh, Spurs Leicester 2-0.
Yeah.
And that is the prediction leg. Dealt with.
Red hot content!
There's one category I wanted to introduce.
Yeah.
Get people to contribute. Teenage shoplifting.
Yeah.
I had this thought earlier on. When we were teenagers, everybody did a bit of nicking, didn't we?
Yeah.
Everyone's nicked something at least once.
Oh, yeah.
So get in touch with us, topflighttimemachine@gmail.com or on the Twitter @TFTimeMachine. Tell us what you nicked. Tell us the background to it if you want, if you got caught.
Nicking confession.
Nicking confessions, and what we'll do is we'll construct a virtual Aladdin's cave of futile stolen goods.
What's yours?
Mine was, it was when I had a paper round.
Yeah.
And it was a 7-inch single that was sellotaped onto the front of Sounds, music newspaper. And it was the third of three. And I'd bought the previous two, but I was skint and I couldn't afford
to buy. So you were delivering the Sounds some other poor
cunt. I wasn't delivering it, no. It was what it was. My pile of newspapers I had to deliver was on the floor, like in front of the shelf where Sounds was. And what I had to do was get my paper round bag and put the pile of papers in, sort them out basically, put them in order.
Yeah.
And then put them in the bag. And while I was doing that, I was carefully peeling the record off the front of Sounds, and it just
sleight of hand
accidentally slipped into my bag with the newspapers.
That doesn't seem too bad because it was a free giveaway.
Yeah,
and
that was
pretty
my thing,
sure,
and it was free anyway. So
I'm pretty sure there was a thing where I think they were part of the rules of those promotions was that if your magazine arrived without it, you could write to the address and they would send you one.
Probably,
I think that was part of the rules. I've shoplifted only twice.
Right.
And once was when I was very young, and the shop that we went to at the end of the street, that like the grocery shop that me and my mum would always, when we got off the bus on the way home from school, the shop was there. So we'd go, my mum would pop in and get the groceries before we'd head home. And as a result, we got to know the couple who ran it, little family, Asian family who ran it. And we were sort of mates with them. They'd be really nice to me, occasionally give me a lolly or something like that. Yeah. My mum would chat, gossip with the mum, you know.
Yeah.
And they were perfectly nice. And then one time we turned up and they said, oh, we're very excited. I'm straining not to do an impression of them because it would come across as racist.
Right, don't then.
But anyway, they said, like I say, they were mates. They were family friends. And they said, oh, we're really good. We've got look at this. We've got one of these new fangled security systems set up. And my mum goes, oh, that's good. It's like the 80s, so presumably they weren't just standard everywhere. Like now we live in the Big Brother state.
Yeah.
And they go, yes, look. And there was a monitor on the counter, the till counter, and the woman, she could look at it, yeah, and she'd go, yeah, look, I can see every corner and every... And it just cuts. It was like there was a couple of cameras and it just kept cutting between different shots. It was only a small shop. And I was like, that's amazing. And I said, so you can see everywhere in the shop? She goes, I think everywhere. There might be the couple of spots where we can't see. And I said, oh, let's put it to the test. So I start running around the shop. Uh-huh. And I'm like, what about here? And she goes, yes, I can see you standing by the biscuits. What about here? Yes, I can see you standing by the sweets. What about here? Yeah, you're standing by the crisps. What about here? No, I can't see you. As soon as she said, you can't see it. I hadn't planned it out, but an instinct took over because I suddenly felt so thrilled. I thought, you can't see me.
Free stuff!
I just thought, fucking free for all. So my hand shot out.
Looting.
As soon as she said, no, I can't see you, my hand, quick as a flash, shot out and grabbed whatever was in front of me. And it was a box of
tampons.
Of beef OXO cubes. And I got the beef OXO cubes and I fucking shoved them really quick in my pocket.
You're mine now.
And then I just fucking moved away. See me now? She goes, yeah, I can see you now. And I thought, I fucking got away with this. This is brilliant. Anyway, we got, it was only about a week later, my mum lost her temper with me, which she would from time to time. And in the middle of her, like, having a fucking, like, rant, she'd rant and rave sometimes. And she'd go, yeah. And I'll tell you another thing. I know you nicked them OXO cubes from the shop because I found them in your pocket when I was doing the laundry. And I was like, ah! Mum, I'm sorry, Mum.
Right. Am I going to go to hell, Mum?
Yeah. And then, so that was the first experience. And then the next experience, when I was a lot older, I was probably about 12, and me and my mates had got the tube up into the West End of London. My dad had an office at the time where he worked was in Covent Garden. So we'd gone, and like I'd gone into my dad's office with my mates. It was half term, say hello and whatnot. And then the three of us had gone out, and we'd gone into there was a toy shop there in the piazza in Covent Garden. We'd gone for a look around. It was the main reason we'd gone there, because I told them about this toy shop that I knew. So one of my mates, who was a bit of a tearaway, said, yeah, right, I'm going to nick some stuff. So we fucking, I can't remember what he nicked. And then as a result, my other mate nicked. And then I felt under peer pressure. Yeah. So we'd left the shop by this stage and they start getting their spoils out. And then they hide them somewhere. I can't remember where, but outdoors, like near a bin or something. And they start giving me shit over being a bottler because I was the only one who didn't nick. So in the end, I've succumbed to them. All right, fine, let's fucking go back. We'll fucking nick it. So they hid their stuff. We went back in and I nicked this, what I call a zombie ball. You know the super bouncy balls?
Oh, yeah.
That you drop and they bounce super high.
Yeah.
And they were those, but they had they were like zombies' faces.
Whoa.
So it was like a zombie's head. So obviously it was wicked.
So you've got a combination of the fear of the zombie face and the excitement of the
bounce.
High bounce.
Yeah, exactly. Whoa. Oh, I don't know whether to laugh or cry. So I'm fucking what I did was I had a system. It was a ridiculous system. I bounced the ball. They didn't mind you playing with the toys in the shop a little bit. Bounced it once, bounced it twice, looked around, saw no one was looking, bounced it a third time. Fucking only caught it in my coat pocket on the way down. Whoops, like that. Get it, go out of the fucking shop. Security guy on the door follows me, follows me out, collars me, pulls me back, says, turn out your pockets, right?
How did that get there?
And I literally, he's made my mates turn out their pockets. They're all smug because they're
already hidden their stuff.
And then by the time he gets to me, honestly, Andy, my eyes are filled with real tears because I have totally...
I'm going to go to prison and then hell. Oh, what am I going to tell my mum? Oh, they made me do it. It was an accident. The ball bounced into my fucking pocket. You shouldn't make balls so bouncy. They're impossible to control. It's your fault.
It should make pockets so big.
And my hand was shaking. I was like,
oh, God. Oh, Jesus.
He was like, what's this?
Oh, it's a zombie ball.
And he... Where'd you get it from? I went, I don't know.
In front of my pocket.
He went, have you got a receipt? I went, oh, and I put my hand in the other pocket and pulled out like a bus ticket or something and tried to blag that. He went, this is a bus ticket, mate.
You can't.
And I was like, oh, what are you going to do? I was fucking, like, more or less, I wasn't crying, but there was tears just, like, welling really visibly. And he looked at me, and I think he probably dealt with proper rough kids every day, half term, all the kids from all over London coming to his tour. It wasn't Hamleys, it was a little independent one. But he probably had all sorts of fucking kids in and out there every day, taking liberties, nicking stuff. And he's taken a look at me, he's thought, you pathetic cunt. You've come here, you've nicked a zombie ball, and you've folded immediately under fucking
like
questioning.
Like Roland Browning.
Yeah. He's like, oh, no, it was me. And then probably grasped my mates, and them as well, they hit their stuff over by the pins, they did more than me. I was probably just moments away from that. So he just said, just give us the ball back, mate.
Yeah.
He said, and I remember he used a sort of a quite street phrase. I remember him vividly, he was a young guy. And he said something like, I'll give you the squeeze this time, or something like that, which meant he was giving me a pass.
That's like something from a Chicago cop series.
Yeah, it was like that. I thought it was really cool. And he sort of patted me matily on the back because he was like, mate, you are a fucking joke. You've got a lot of growing up to do. The story gets more embarrassing because I get home that afternoon. I go up to my room and I'm feeling riddled with remorse.
Yeah.
And my mum came up to my room. I don't know what I was doing there. I wouldn't have been wanking because I was a bit too young. And I was like, but I was unusually just keeping myself to myself in my room. I wasn't charging around dressed up as Dick Turpin like I usually would.
Something wasn't right.
She knew something wasn't right because she's thinking he's not acting the cunt. Riding around on a broomstick claiming to be Dick Turpin like he usually would
be. He must be wanking.
He must have started wanking. Still seems a bit young to start that. I'll go up. There must be something else. So she brought me up a cup of tea and I was sat at my desk, probably drawing something like that, drawing Dick Turpin maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
And I went, and she went, you all right? And I went, yeah. And she went, are you sure? You don't seem all right. And I went, oh God, I need the zombie ball. I got caught.
You knob.
I know. I fucking grasped myself. I couldn't hold it in. I couldn't hold it in, Andy.
Oh, God.
I felt so bad.
Yeah.
And that was it. After the Oxo... So my mum caught me twice. Once she caught me because I failed to hide the Oxo cubes.
Yeah.
The second time, I fucking grasped myself.
Hell.
And you know what? She let me off the hook as well. And I'm embarrassed because both people who knew about this both let me off the hook because they deemed me to be a pathetic thief.
If anything, that's enabled you to go on and commit greater crimes.
What?
In
because
later life.
Yeah.
Not like crimes as in nicking stuff.
Crimes of sort of arrogance and self-indulgence because I was indulged by those people because they felt pity for me.
Exactly.
And if I'd learnt my lesson, perhaps I should have done. A lot of people would say it would have been better if Delaney had done a short stretch in juvie at an early age.
Were you raised a Catholic?
No, but I'm from Catholic family. No, but I think it might be because both my parents were. And I think that maybe residual Catholic guilt is inside of me, even though I wasn't raised one. Because they both, like, my mum was raised by nuns. And I think my dad was raised by priests. And, like, so I think, maybe I've absorbed
it. That's
probably where it was. Yeah. I thought I'll fucking need the fucking zombie ball. And I remember my mum going, well, where is it? I go, I gave it back. And I could see my mum rolling her eyes a bit, thinking, fuck me, if you're going to fucking nick it, at least keep it.
I'm sure you can come upstairs now.
You're a fucking lose-lose situation here.
Oh, man. So, yeah, send us in your teenage shoplifting stories. Tell us what you nicked, how you nicked it, whether you got away with it, whether you've still got it. And we'll put together a compendium.
If you've still got something you nicked when you were a kid, that'd be brilliant.
Treasure. And we'll rig them out. That's about it for this episode.
Can I throw out one more topic?
Do you want to do it now or wait till next week? Is it a quick one?
Really quick.
Go on.
Things that you did to act cool when you were a kid to try and make out you're cool than you were. I got this idea.
Yeah.
I got this idea real quick. I got this idea from on Monday's podcast. We were doing it remotely and you were in Sunderland. And you noticed that I was sitting in a different position at my table to usual. And over my shoulder was the Stevie Wonder album, Songs in the Key of Life.
Yeah.
Great album, but one that would genuinely be regarded as one of the cooler albums you could have in your collection.
Uh-huh.
And you quite rightly speculated that I had placed it there on purpose to try and act cool to you.
Yeah.
And I thought, I can see why I think that, because that of all albums, that's the album that most people would choose if you choose anyone if you were trying to show off, right? So, but just to reiterate again, that wasn't
the situation.
I'd probably
choose Secret Life of Plants to be like extra hipster.
Oh, yeah, to be, yeah. Choose a shit one that's got no fucking singing in it, right? But anyway.
Oh, yeah, that. Oh, I heard that on yesterday afternoon. Yeah,
oh, it's Songs of Key of Life. Yeah, it's pretty mainstream.
It's got a lot of pop tunes on it.
Yeah. Some of those songs are a bit good. Anyway, it got me thinking about other things like that where people stage things to look cool.
Yeah.
And I've got loads of them that have both been done by me and have been done by others to me. And I'll just tell you my favourite one quickly.
Go
is
on.
When I was about 9, a new kid started at my school who was Egyptian, and his name was Rami El Shabini Mohammed El Shabini. And I became fast friends with him. I don't know what it was. I liked the fella. I was interested.
I was intrigued.
I was like,
he was exotic.
I'd read a lot of Tintin books. I knew a thing or two about Egypt, right? But I wanted to know more. So I become friends with him in playground. He invites me round, right?
Yeah.
I think it's a Saturday, so my mum drops me round to his place.
Yeah.
And his mum answers the door. Him and my mum have a bit of a chat. Fine. She goes, "Go ahead down the hallway. Rami's in his bedroom. He said to just go straight down." Thought, weird. Why didn't he greet me at the door? He's waiting in his bedroom. So I fucking walk into his room. It's all been tidied. His toys are all on show. I think there's something too perfect here. Rami is lying on his front, right, on the bed, God, reading a comic like the Beano.
Yeah.
And on the stereo is "The Heat Is On." The heat is on. Right. Time to perfection to hit that bit when I walk in. As I do it, his little brother, Basil, who's like about, I don't know, 7, charges in and just fucking whacks the stereo, presses stop, and Rami flips and blurts out involuntarily, "Basil, you idiot, I had that all lined up for when he got here."
Oh, God, no.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. And then as soon as he said it, you could see him trying to wrestle the words back into his mouth, because he said it and he thought, why did I fucking say it? Why did I fess up? I mean, I fucking knew. It was all too perfect.
So did you just leave then and never speak to him again?
I was just like, mate, I thought we could be mates, but we can't. This is so awkward. It is a good cool song to play, though. If you wanted to be cool, you'd probably play that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Fucking hell. Yeah, so send us them in as well.
Yeah.
Ever-increasing list of stories.
That's good. Because
we haven't had time to read any out in this episode.
Yeah, but
we'll get
away perhaps from just straightforward wanking stories, which, although some of them have amused us.
Wanking on ants.
There's enough now, and you're never going to beat a man who wanked on some ants. Let's just move on.
Can we have some news of that news before we go?
Yeah.
Very quickly. Oh, God. Tourist masturbated in police car before dying and being brought back to life.
7.
Oh. Colorado runner kills mountain lion with bare hands in self-defense.
Seen this one, 10.
Yeah, Billy Bullshit as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
And finally, man stripped naked, bit his own dog, then bit an FBI agent on neck.
10.
Thank you very much, Sam Delaney. This has been Top Flight Time Machine. We will be back on Monday, is it?
Right,
something
nice.
Like that.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.